You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Could you imagine you're doing business, you've been doing business for years, you just had this great relationship in the community, a great relationship, you know, with a local college, you're servicing a lot of the students there, you know, providing them with goods and services and that type of thing. And out of nowhere, somebody comes in your store, they actually violate the law, they steal some stuff from you, try to purchase something at an underage alcohol, for example, and you confront them and say, you can't do this. Then all of a sudden it gets flipped upside down, and now you're like the pinpoint, the enemy of this community and the city and the university, because you had them arrested, but they falsely accuse you and said the reason why you did it is because you're racist. That's exactly what happened. Overton College and a local store. I'm Greg Lancaster, and John Ramos is joining us today.
Hello.
This is so important because we want to encourage you as business owners, you know, as leaders, as you know, pastors, as you know, political
citizens.
Leaders, citizens. You know, you have rights in America, and racism is evil. It's very evil. And so, but being falsely accused of something so evil is even greater evil.
You know, that's a big tool right now that people are using to manipulate and get their way is to try to attack folks. One of the areas is an
accusation, you know, ridicule, and just say, you know, automatically, no matter what it is, somebody would say that. Well, there's justice in America. As a matter of fact, you got to hear about this case that was just resolved at the courts, Overton College, but the store itself, I forget the name
of the Gibson's.
The Gibson's store. They've been servicing the university there. Oberlin College has been around since 1885, I guess.
Reportedly 1885, long time.
So what's the facts? Let's talk about some of the facts.
The facts are three African-American students tried to buy wine, but were not allowed. But one of the students was actually caught trying to steal two bottles.
So two things, I believe they were underage. And since they couldn't sell it to them, they tried to steal it.
They were arrested. But what happened here, these are college students. Mm-hmm. The college actually defended...
Oberlin College defended
the students and protested against the local business.
Well, first they accused them of the reason why this happened is because you're racist.
They said they were racist, right? The Gibsons were racist.
And then that's where the college itself said, well, we believe them. We'll back them up. And they began to accuse the store, the Gibson's family.
Sure.
You know, themselves.
Has been servicing these students since 1885, reportedly.
What a shock.
Of being a racist.
It was on a sudden turn in your business, you know, okay.
Major. So the family owned the business. Mm-hmm. They actually sued the college for supporting the students and amping this defamatory claim. So they you know, start suing the college.
And the only thing the Gibson family wanted was the truth to come out and say, you know, we're not racist. That's not what happened here. And the university would not do it. As a matter of fact, they cranked it up.
Before we get there, you had 300 students that started a boycott, and they had a protest outside their store.
Right.
They continued these claims
based on
racist.
They're protesting a racist owner, they said.
They're claiming, right.
Mm-hmm.
So within a week, the reports are that the police, within a week of the protest, the police produced a report based upon age, race, of everyone who was arrested for shoplifting.
Well, let me say this first. Okay, what happened was, in the context of what you're saying is, once they saw them protesting the store, accusing them of racism, that the university began to back them up. In a sense, they even circulated documents and emails, that type of thing, communicating and saying, you know, we support this, which is very, very important because we're going to find out what justice came at the end of this. But not only are they just supporting it, they're not supporting it quietly, they're openly agreeing with it.
Yeah.
They're openly sending, professors are sending emails back and forth, and this becomes evidentiary later on. So this is a big support. So then
they're flaming the fire. They're stoking this thing.
A university, a federal-funded university.
Getting involved with three students that got arrested for trying to buy alcohol underage and
stealing
two bottles of wine.
Who flipped it and said, the reason why I'm getting arrested is because...
Not because I broke the law.
Because you're a racist.
Not because I broke the law, because you're a racist.
Okay.
So anyway, within a week of this protest, the police produced a report based upon age and race of everyone who was arrested for shoplifting at Gibson's, the local store. This from January 2011.
What's the facts?
All the way to November 2016.
Okay.
So we're going to show you the facts, right?
Okay. This is 5193.
So out of the 40 total arrests that occurred, 33 of them were college students.
Okay.
And of the 33 that were arrested college students, 32
were white students.
That's 80% were white.
Because they broke the law.
They broke the law. Mm-hmm. 6 were African American.
Right.
It's 15%.
Right.
And 2 were Asian. 5%.
Can you go?
So when you're talking about these folks are being racist,
right,
this is the actual police report. The police report.
Let's go again. So 4 out of 40 arrests.
40 arrests. 33 of the arrests were college students.
Okay.
Of the 33, 32 were actually white. Out of the 40, 32 were white. That's 80%. 6 were African American, 15%. And 2 were Asian, 5%.
So what's so important about these stats is...
These are facts?
They're facts. But also, it's the actual makeup of the whole community. Those numbers, those percentages
were
are
relative.
How many, you know, basically white citizens, African-American citizens, Asian citizens.
So it's proportionate
it's
to
very
the,
proportionate.
Proportionate
yeah.
to the actual
yeah.
population of the city.
But the victim, 80% of the ones arrested were white, you know, and only 6. But anyway...
Well, maybe they could make another narrative that they were racist against white people. I mean,
right. Yeah, you could, because white is a race. I know people don't know that right now.
Imagine that.
It is definitely a race. So here, this is huge. All of a sudden, now you're losing business. People stop doing business with them. The university, this big, huge university, is using their power to stop people from doing business, and they're building. And some of the things they talked about in this, what's the author of this article here?
I have it for you here.
I think it's Quinn or Quill. But they said that the reality is that
Daniel McGraw,
but I forget the name of the paper that he writes.
It's Quill, I believe.
Quill. The fact is that colleges don't have enough students to fill their colleges, and they're trying to reach to a minority population to come into their college. Some of the reports are allegedly the whole college was already moving and being accused themselves
of being racist.
Some of the alleged comments
are. So they allegedly
deflected.
So it's
almost like a deflection. We jump on board right here and we'll get on this accusation.
Yeah.
And so now you have the college looking like allegedly trying to cover themselves up by taking someone else down, this local Gibson business owner. Yeah.
They go to court.
Yeah.
And
by the way, court's very important. We're going to talk about the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution a little bit, because you had remedy. Remedy is in the court system in America when you're being falsely accused.
Well, remedy, but I mean, I'm sure the Gibsons are very grateful that they actually sued the college, because if they didn't sue the college, none of this is going to come out, which we're about to share with you.
Right.
But all three, they go to court, and all three of the students that were arrested, all three of them, read this statement in court. Now, remind you, this is after the protest. This is after the college gets involved. This is after 300 students are outside their business saying, don't do business with this bakery that I think has been around since 1885, who's been feeding us and taking care of us. After all of that, this is the statement that they read in court.
They had to read this.
Yes.
Sure. Okay.
I believe the employees of Gibson's actions were not racially motivated. They were merely trying to prevent an underage sale.
That's important. And if you think about it, if the university would have did the very same thing, they could have prevented what's about to happen. But before we go any further, the definition of racism.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about, go ahead.
Gibson's actually had 8 employees. At the end of this, they got down to
one employee.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. You're working so hard, building your business.
You're next to a university, and they come against you.
You're serving the students. This is your clientele.
Yeah.
You're doing all this for the college
students.
Community
work is just like sons and daughters of your community coming to this university.
For years.
1885.
And now you have to lay off all these
It's a place where
people.
Dr. Martin Luther King spoke, and stood up for
what's
actually right. Okay.
And all they wanted was the college to send an email out, let the public know, hey, we're not racist.
Right.
Knock this off.
Well, let's talk about definition of racism here. Racism is what?
Prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that one's own race is superior.
Well, that definitely could be any race. You could be racist towards black or African-American, Asian, against white. You can actually be, you could be racist towards white people as well. I think a lot of that's maybe going on right now in America when you think about it. I mean, they said the problem is the white man racism is evil. It's just totally evil.
Yeah.
And so ultimately what they were falsely accusing the Gibson family of, the Gibson family's like, let's just make this right. Let's just make this right. You spread all this stuff that's not true. Just stand up. Like the courts made the young kids who broke the laws read the truth in the courtroom. Why don't you do it? Well, they didn't do
it. It wasn't just that. They got a judgment for $44 million.
You're jumping ahead of me, John Paul. Hang on a second.
Hold on.
So they were just verbally telling them, just do it. Just do what's right. And so they wouldn't do it. All they had was simply just, listen, this is the truth. This is what happened. There's the students that went to court. They broke the law. And they still wouldn't do it. So then they took him to court. Then they sued him, took him to court. And in the court, they still could have just said any moment, like, I give. They could plead uncle and go, I did. That was wrong. We shouldn't have done it. That's all they had to do. And the Gibson family would have said, cool. It's done. Let's move on. Let's keep on doing business. But they still wouldn't do it in the courtroom. And they had every opportunity. And some of the reason why that Quill writes about in his article was because colleges are going down in America and they're fighting for students. And they have to be able to delve into those college funds, whatever they're called.
Pell Grants?
Well, no, the federal money, but there's also the money to put up.
Student loans?
The big money. I don't know what it's called right now. But dowries and these things they put up over
endowments.
College. Endowments. So you think about it. Here they were going to the university, and they were suing the university just to get the university to say, listen, what's the truth? We're not racist. The students just said we're not racist. This whole thing is a false narrative. It's not true. Racism is evil, but we're not that. But it's evil calling somebody racist. It's not, and it stopped their business, went from 8 employees to 1 employee. And it was all they had to do was just say, we're wrong. But they didn't do it in the courts. And guess what happened? The courts found them guilty, and they had a $44 million fine. The American court system found in their favor that it was true what the Gibson family was saying. It was false what the university was saying. And they find them, and it's a couple of different figures there, but totaling up $44 million. Let me tell you something. People want to do away with the United States Constitution. You see a lot of people right now, they're against America and against our founding fathers and against what we do. And they want to do away with the Constitution. They call it an outdated document. It's because of the Sixth Amendment to the United States Constitution that the Gibson family had justice. Look at the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution right here. This is what it says when you're being falsely accused. John, read this right here.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial.
So like the Gibson family.
Correct.
Accused.
By an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense.
So the Gibson family, according to the article, what's happened, they tried to settle it outside of court and get to the right thing. They wouldn't do it, so the remedy was the courts, and so they had justice. I want to encourage you as a business owner, as a leader, as a citizen of America, don't give up on America. Don't give up on the Constitution. When things happen in their order, the remedy could be, it's a land of laws, it's the courts. So you can go there and you get justice from a jury of your peers. And I think about this, Dr. King spoke at Oberlin College.
He did.
As a matter of fact, you look right here, this is him speaking, 1963-64, he came and spoke as an assembly there.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty significant in their history of doing what was right, but we're not necessarily our fathers unless we act like our fathers, right?
That's right.
And so this is the next generation. Also, I like what Dr. King said, over and over again, and it's so true. He says, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. This is totally the opposite of what they were trying to do because love would have fixed all that.
Sure.
Caring about your neighbor, loving your neighbor right there.
And of course, false claims of racism.
It's evil.
Makes light of actual real racism.
True.
Evil is evil, which is horrible.
And right now you're hearing a lot of accusations saying, America's racist. Understand that, by the way, white is a race, black is a race, brown is a race, yellow is a race, and we're a whole bunch of different, dirt comes in all different kinds of colors, white dirt, black, all we're all made from. God created us out of the soil of the earth. He breathed life into us, and when we die, we go right back to the dirt of the earth again. Our spirit goes to be with God.
And there's only one human race, is
that right? We all bleed the color red, and God loves us all. We're all created in the image and likeness of God. But the big question is up, when you think about it, you hear it every day on the false media that's going out there. They're saying something just like they were saying against the Gibson family. They were falsely saying, the Gibson family's racist. It was proven untrue. Was it true? But they're also saying America's racist. It couldn't be any further than the truth. As a matter of fact, here is Dr. Larry Elder, right, talking specifically about looking at the fact. Is America a racist nation? Let's take a look.
Is racism still a major problem in America? President Barack Obama certainly thinks so. He said that racism is in our DNA. Really? If racism is in our DNA, doesn't that mean it's immutable, unchangeable? But America has changed, and dramatically so. In 1960, 60% of Americans said they would never vote for a black president. Almost 50 years later, the black man who said racism is in America's DNA was elected president, and 4 years later, re-elected. That's only the most obvious example of racial progress. There are many others. Take interracial marriage. As William H. Fry of the Brookings Institution wrote, sociologists have traditionally viewed multiracial marriage as a benchmark for the ultimate stage of assimilation of a particular group into society. Black-white marriages were still illegal in 16 states until 1967, and a 1958 Gallup poll found that only 4% of Americans approved of black-white marriages. Today, that number is 87%. In 1960, of all marriages by blacks, only 1.7% were black-white. Today, it's 12% and rising. Now, what about racial profiling and abuse of blacks by police? Doesn't that prove that racism remains a major problem? In the summer of 2014, Ferguson, Missouri became ground zero for this accusation when a white policeman shot and killed an unarmed black teenager. While a Department of Justice investigation of the incident cleared the officer of any wrongdoing, it did accuse the city's police department of racial bias. But what was the Justice Department's report's most headline-grabbing stat? The gap between the percentage of blacks living in Ferguson, 67%, and the percentage of those stopped by police for traffic violations who are black, 85%, an 18-point discrepancy. Racism, right? Not so fast. Blacks comprise 25% of New York City, but account for 55% of those stopped for traffic offenses, a 30-point discrepancy, far bigger than that of Ferguson. Why isn't the NYPD, a department that is now majority-minority, considered even more institutionally racist than the Ferguson PD? The answer is you cannot have an honest discussion about police conduct without an honest discussion of black crime. Though blacks are 13% of the population, they commit 50% of the nation's homicides. And almost always the victim is another black person, just as most white homicides are against other whites. In 2012, according to the Center for Disease Control, police killed 123 blacks, while, by the way, killing over twice that many whites. But that same year, blacks killed over 6,000 people, again, mostly other blacks. What about traffic stops? Unlike when responding to dispatch calls, police officers exercise more discretion when it comes to traffic stops. Therefore, racist cops can have a field day when it comes to traffic stops, right? Actually, no. The National Institute of Justice is the research agency of the Department of Justice. In 2013, the National Institute of Justice published a study called Race, Trust, and Police Legitimacy. 3 out of 4 black drivers admitted that they were stopped by the police for a legitimate reason. Blacks, compared to whites, were on average more likely to commit speeding and other traffic offenses. The Institute wrote, seatbelt usage is chronically lower among black drivers. If a law enforcement agency aggressively enforces seatbelt violations, police will stop more black drivers. The NIJ's conclusion? These numerical disparities result from differences in offending. In other words, not because of racism. Similarly, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration also found that blacks violate traffic laws at higher rates than whites. In every offense, whether it's driving without a license, not wearing a seatbelt, not using a child safety seat, or speeding. Is there still racism in America? Of course there is. But racism is not in America's DNA. Recent history and a lot of research and data prove it. As liberal Harvard sociologist Orlando Patterson said, America is now the least racist white majority society in the world, has a better record of legal protections of minorities than any other society, white or black, offers more opportunities to a greater number of black persons than any other society, including all of those of Africa. Patterson, by the way, is black. I'm Larry Elder for Prager University.
It's powerful when you start looking at the facts. You know, facts matter. The facts are the truth. Whatever's happening is happening.
Right.
And you're looking at the reality is that whoever commits a crime is gonna, if they get caught, because only like 30 or 40% of crime I think is even reported. Mm. And the reality is, you know, outside the grace and the mercies of God, you know, and following the laws, anybody could be ticketed or arrested, that type of thing.
Very easy.
But I believe, you know, personally, that you know, these people that are lying over America and lying over American citizens and speaking and taking advantage of people's pain and of true racism that's happened and may still exist in certain areas of this nation, that they're literally latching on to the true pain of someone and they're using it for their own political gain. What we have to do, you know, Jesus came as the truth. We have to believe the truth. What is the truth? I mean, if the truth is bad, then we repent. We change what it is. But we need to know what it is. And we got to be willing to give up the gains we get from a lie. You know, if we get the contract because we lied, or we get the political position because we lied, or we pushed a false narrative, as believers, you know, we shouldn't run your business that way. You shouldn't run your campaign that way. And you have to be willing to lose with the truth. When you think about it, Jesus is the truth, the way, and the light. And he was willing to lay down his life and die being the truth himself, be crucified on the cross. And so often people do things they shouldn't do for a little bit of gain or false gain or whatever it is. But if Jesus set that example for us, we have to be willing to lay down our lives. And if we love our brothers, if we love our citizens, we're not going to speak things over them. We're not going to say, you know, that things aren't good for you when they are. Or, hey, if you're spending all those millions of dollars for putting this false lie out and saying it's there, why don't you spend the millions of dollars to empower somebody? Go into that particular community you're talking about and give people jobs, train them, buy them a house, break the cycles of poverty over that people group, whoever that is. But just speak positive. I know we did the Malachi mandate for years, and we had people from all races come out and participate. We had the Tunnel of Affirmation where people are walking down this tunnel, these young boys are. And we're speaking over every one of them. This is what everybody needs to hear. God loves you. I love you. God's got a plan for your life. You can be a doctor. You can be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. You can be a pastor. You don't want to hear people speaking over like you're oppressed and the man's got you down and you'll never make it and you have to live on government housing and that, you know, this whole thing's set against you and the founding fathers had it out for you for the day one. It's like, it's not going to work. Jesus came to set you free and to bless you, and that, you know, don't believe those things. People are not in your best interest if they're telling you your interest is not good, that your future is not good. If they're making political gain from your pain, that's not good. And understand this, that it's true, people do believe a lot and these things happen. But what you do is you go back and find out and do the research. That's one thing that we try to do. I was excited about this particular case at Oberlin College because the Gibson family, because you saw the injustice, you saw the lie, and we're seeing it in a lot of places. But then we saw justice come in, and the Constitution was applied. The court system, a jury of the peers came in and said, you were right, this is totally wrong, that shouldn't be happening. And all they had to do was speak the truth. Right now, if people speak the truth in America, the ones who have this false narratives going on, there's a lot of lies going on, then they lose their power. Then they lose they get humbled in the context of that. Maybe they lose with their political game. Maybe they can't get put into office. But isn't it worth you not getting a promotion or getting elected to an office or something for the people of America to be free and blessed and prosperous? I think so. And I think God's came to set us free, right? He came to bless us, set us free. So we want to encourage you as a business owner, as a leader, you know, love folks, you know, and treat people fairly. But also don't panic and be fearful that you're going to be falsely accused and all of a sudden you compromise your integrity.
You have rights.
You have rights in America.
You have rights.
And this program is packed with, we have resources available for you on the VFN Torch to be able to look at. We also have Civil Christianity. You can find out more at civilchristianity.org and get involved. This is a powerful thing. I think good things are happening. This is a good sign. I want to pray for you right now. I want to be able to bless you. I want to invite you to go to the VFNKB community and join in on the conversation. It is time for us to unite and stand up for light and the truth and empower each other for the success that God's called us to be. That's VFNKBcommunity.com. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I pray a blessing right now over those that are watching and listening. I pray for courage to come back into the local business person again, the business leader, God. I pray for courage over the individual that they speak to the truth and love, Father God, that the compassion, Father God, that Dr. King had when he walked the streets and risked his life and gave his life as a Christian, as a leader, as a pastor, as an attorney, standing up for civil rights, Father God, that we would stand up for truth and love, because love wins in the end. And Father God, we ask you right now to bless each and every one, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And I'll see you in the VFNKB community. Mm-hmm.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.